welcome everybody to 575, episode 575 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold. I know I just asked this question, but gentlemen, how are you? And here comes the awkward silence.
Better than last week, I guess.
Yeah, you sound better, man. Sound a little bit better. Break?
Yeah, I'm surprised you survived. I mean, never mind.
How dare you, Break, man? Already starting stuff before the show even starts, man. Like, seriously. We've got hopefully a very entertaining show for you guys today. We got, of course, the usual news. You know, we're going to have some discussions later on. There's some reviews to be had. Let's get right into it. Why don't we get into...
RPG News.
All right, Eric, take us into the news, my friend.
Okay, for the first article we've got from RPG site is the date for Rune Factory 4 Special, which is February 28th in Europe, and then February 25th in North America. Strange that they announced the European date first, but whatever. Or not. Well, let's see. It's going to... Those who pre-ordered the digital version of the game will be able to get bonus swimsuit day DLC. This also will apply to people who get the physical edition, so I guess they'll just put the code in. But, the archival edition is only available to the online store in Europe. But I think there'll be a physical release in the U.S., but it won't be the archival edition. It also announced another episode DLC will be available for free from the Nintendo eShop until the 26th, at which point you have to pay for it, which will be $5, £4.49, and €4.99.
$5 for the bottom? Huh? Have you paid bikini? Like, you pay them separately?
Yeah. You for the bikini, like the top, you pay like $2.50, and then like the bottom is $2.50. I mean, it's
no,
equal.
No, yeah, the Australian price is $7.50 in Australian dollars.
Oh yeah, it's really important because we
will have none of our nonsense.
Not today, sir. No. Not today. Yeah, they did. They split it up, Break. So, you know, you take your pick which one you want, the undies or the bikini top. That's how it works.
Also, this says this additional episode will include illustrated stories for all 12 marriage candidates who are fully voiced in English and Japanese, which is interesting because the original release of this game had no voice acting.
Okay, that's actually kind of cool.
Well, actually, that's not entirely true. There were voice clips, but like I think they're actually going to have full voice acting in this version of the game.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on that, Eric?
At least during the story cutscenes. I can't say like it will do that everywhere, but hopefully this version of this game is less blocky than the 3DS version was.
Exactly. It came out a while ago, so I mean that's probably the reason for the quote unquote blockiness. But yeah. So all right. Anything else, Eric, on that?
It doesn't say what the cost of the archival edition is.
Okay. Let's move on. Next story, Break.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era. Thief's Roulette Switch PC, PS4, and Vita versions are on the way. Wow, they're still making games for a Vita?
I know. What is that? What is this Vita you speak of, Break?
Yeah, I thought it was a fictional system, you know, like that vaporware that was, what was that thing that came, that was supposed to
the
come
Phantom,
out five
The Phantom
years ago?
Or whatever?
Do you know that the last Wii U game that will probably ever be released is a port of Hawaii Shakedown?
Really? That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
And that's assuming that all the eyes get dotted and the T's get crossed, and it actually gets ported.
Hey, Break, I think the Vita is the jackalope of game systems.
Right. You know. Jackalope. Yeah. Okay, so the story. Top Hat Studios has picked up the publishing rights to a recently funded Kickstarter project. The choice-driven puzzle game, Fief's Roulette, previously announced for just Nintendo Switch and PC, Top Hat Studios says the game will now be coming to all platforms. Well, okay. Adding PlayStation 4, PlayStation Vita, and others to the mix, with a demo set to arrive on PCs very soon. I'm really confused. All platforms, but they only mentioned PlayStation 4 and then the Vita of all systems.
Yeah.
Developer Hiromu 656 describes the game as taking the narrative heavy design of visual novels combined with immersive first person puzzle gameplay, likening the game to the acclaimed Danganronpa and Zero Escape series. Fief's Roulette takes place on a futuristic version of Earth where android life and body augmentation is rife. Your characters found themselves kidnapped along with 14 other strangers, and you all must compete in three teams of five, win and you survive, lose and you might die. Who you choose to align with may very well decide your fate, as building alliances or creating rivals will be the game's driving force. So this is like Survivor for real.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the, I mean, that it, nice idea for sure. I'm just,
okay. Kind of neat. Yeah. It's different.
Yeah. I was looking at my Twitter. Somebody just tweeted me, which I'll be talking about later. Goddamn Twitter, man. Okay. Anything else on that break?
No.
Okay.
New.
All right. I will mention, I'll have to ask a question, though. If it's called Thief's Roulette, does it involve alcohol and poison?
Yeah. We can only hope, man.
I think it involves actual roulette. No, I have no idea. I'm just... Yeah.
You're just making stuff up at this point, Break. Yeah, yeah. Good job. I want an RPG about like growing weed, sort of like Harvest Moon, but like kind of like an RPG. Like, you know, you have to grow weed, and like you can either do it legit, like in the states that have it legal, or you can go underground, and you know, that's what I want. But. You know, I never get what I want.
So. What's more likely to happen is they'll make a weed simulator. Ooh, be stupid.
Even better.
They'll probably be like Deer Simulator, which has nothing to do with the fact that you're playing as a deer. Have you seen a trailer for Deer Simulator?
No, it'll be a weed simulator. It's just gonna be pictures of weed. Like, it's just gonna keep changing images, and the potheads are just gonna sit there and stare at it.
And it's gonna
sell out.
It should
have a fake stereoscopic visual effect to make you feel like you're having a high because of the synesthesia involved.
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of that, leads us to our next story. PlayStation Action RPG, and this is where the, like, you know, high, like, people had to be high when they named this game. Brave.
You also got to play that famous song, too.
Yeah. Brave.
Because I got high.
Jesus Christ. Brave Prove gets fan translation into English. PlayStation 1 top-down action RPG Brave Prove, developed by Data West, has gotten an English fan translation by Ashasha and their team. The game released
in... Is Data West related to Data East?
Yeah. That's game released in...
They're arch rivals, like they're the North Star and the South Star.
Yeah. And what about Data North and Data South? I think there's a little bit of racism going on here, guys. You know what I'm saying? The game released in 1998, and it was never released outside Japan, which is probably why the name Brave Prove. The game borrows... The game borrows mechanics heavily from contemporary games of the time, such as the Zelda 2D games, Ease and more. Ended up being overshadowed as a result, having released to middling reviews. Story itself is also rather straightforward, with the hero embarking on a quest to regain the love of his sweetheart, Shinna. And you can check out the screenshots. Screenshots. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it looks very derivative of the other games back in the day, but that's cool that it got an English translation, so if you're into
the game. That just sucks. Your love always gets kidnapped in these games.
Yeah. What if the game was called Brave Proof and it was about mathematics?
Oh my god, that'd be even worse. Or it's called Brave Prove and you have to like prove like the Pythagorean theorem and all that shit, man. That'd be awful. Okay, Eric, let's move on to the next story. Hopefully no math is involved.
Next story is about a visual novel called Pika Pika Nurse Monogatari.
Okay.
which is
Gesundheit,
coming out in April in Japan, and it's a 3DS game.
Ooh, not very many of those coming out, really.
Anyways, it's called. This is apparently a series, and it's the latest entry. It's aimed for the younger audience, and it's about being a nurse, and it's called Pika Pika because electroshock therapy, maybe? I don't know.
Because you Pika Pika at the nurse's skirt when she bends over?
No. It's for young kids, so no.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think so.
Working as a nurse in the pediatric ward in a general hospital, your job is to take care of outpatients to hospitalize children and newborn babies. The game's 15 mini games.
Hey, Brake, I think you were thinking of Pika Pika Naughty Nurse. That's the one you were thinking of.
Oh, yeah. You're probably right.
Yeah. Okay, continue on, Eric.
So this is basically Nurse Simulator for, like, 7-year-olds.
Yeah, it looks kind of cute.
7-year-old girls, maybe.
Yeah, I would check it out.
Oh, so it's like trying to, like, operation for our generation, for this generation.
I mean, there are male nurses, but I have to wonder if they're in this game, or if it's just Japan being sexist.
Yeah, probably.
Do they even allow, like, male nurses in Japan? Because I could see them being sexist.
Don't think they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, there probably are, but they're probably got a different job title. They're not called nurses at that point. They're probably something else.
Yeah, they're probably they call them something else just to seem more manly. Break, you were asking
like
how...
Like physician's assistant, maybe.
Weiland, he does not have a point. Break, you said...
they're called interns.
How are you going to accumulate experience without math? It's called, the computer does that shit for me. And I don't have to worry about it. I just level up. You know what I'm saying?
There's still math involved.
There's no math on my end.
You're doing it for you.
Looking in the box here, there's a dude here, but I can't tell if he's a nurse or a doctor.
He's probably a doctor. Sexist fucks. Probably. Okay. Let's move on to the... Who did that story? I mean,
it's bad enough they're marketing this towards girls, so...
Yeah. All right, Brake. I think you're up next.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era, Little Buster Switch arrives in Japan with English subtitles on April 23rd, 2020. Another one of Key's visual novels is making a jump to the Nintendo Switch sooner than people might think. Little Buster's Converted Edition. I had to yell it because there's an exclamation point.
I just called this a visual novel and it's a sim. I need to do the errata there.
Yeah.
It's gonna make its debut on that day for 6,050 yen. This won't be the first time Little Busters has appeared. I'm sorry, Little Busters has appeared in English. Back in November 27, 2017, the visual novel made its PC outside of Japan. I'm guessing they meant PC debut. It costs $34.99 for a copy. Wow, like the other converted edition releases, this is an extra. Nobody cares. I'm moving on. And Little Buster's players follow Riki and his high school friends, who he has grown up with and helped him cope with his parents' deaths. As the game begins, the Little Buster's group expands, and 5 more girls join the group. Thus begins a life spent getting to know these new potential love interests and enjoying adventures with friends. Oh, I like that. Though the world will they all inhabit does have quite a big secret. And, I hope this writer never listens. I'm sorry. Don't hurt me.
So this game's probably slated for a North American eShop release because it has English in it already. They just need to switch the language defaults and the fact that it's already on Steam.
It is immediately available on PlayStation 2.
What?
Yeah, this is an old game.
PlayStation 3, PlayStation Portable, and PlayStation Vita. Oh my god, the PSP. I didn't think I'd say that again in a long time.
Right, exactly.
I miss my PSP. I think I should have a barrel for it to see.
Yeah, holy cow. PS2 and PSP. Yeah, insane. Anything else on that, Break?
Well, I guess what I skipped before was that it's going to have higher resolution images and the PlayStation Vita touchscreen support for mini games. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
$67 though? Jesus Christ, man. That's pretty expensive for
Probably long, because, like, the more expensive your visual novel is, the longer it usually is.
I gotcha. Okay.
And the more voice acting, so they have to upcharge.
I guess, yeah.
And this is Japanese, anime romance, so this is going to take you, like, 5 chapters just to get the holding hands.
Brake wants to get straight to, like, third base, man. He wants that right out of the gate.
This is they don't even get the third base. It ends before they even kiss. Like,
I don't even think Little Busters has an R18 version. I think it's just an all-ages game.
Gotcha. So, yeah, Brake is right then. The climax will be you hold hands. That's probably what's going to happen. All right, let's move on to the next story from Silicon Era. Netflix Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution will begin streaming on February 27th, 2020. And there's a little trailer here. Let's see if I can read you guys a little bit
about
it.
The Ni No Kuni movie is already available, and I think the Dragon Quest Your Story movie comes out next week.
Oh, on Netflix? I don't have Netflix, man. That sucks. I would watch it, but I just have other, like, Disney Plus and Shudder, stuff like that. Wrestling, I have WWE, and that's about it. That's all the streaming I do. Netflix has caught another Pokemon. This time it's a 3D CGI movie, Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back. Evolution will appear on the streaming service February 27th, less than one year after the Japanese debut, so that's kind of cool. Less than a year and you guys get it. It looks really good, actually, for 3D CGI. The reveal came alongside the first English trailer for Pokemon. I already said that. We get to see Ash, Brock, Misty, Pikachu, and Squirtle in the opening. And if you want to check it out, check out the trailer online. It looks really good. I'm actually really impressed with the 3D CGI. I'm normally not impressed with 3D CGI, but this looks really good. For Pokemon fans out there. So, Eric, I know you'll probably be super interested in this and want to see it. You too, Brake. I know you guys are Pokemon people, so there you go. If you're interested, trailer's online, check it out. All right, Eric, what do we got next?
We got a game called Only the Banner of the Maid. It's got a PC English version release date of February 14th, and it says people looking forward to the Azure Flame Studio and CE Asia strategy game will only have one English language version next month. Only the Manor of the Maid PC release will be showing up on Valentine's Day. The planned Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4 versions won't end up showing up until a later date, which we don't have yet.
No screenshots, no gameplay, but there is a...
It says it's an isometric turn-based strategy RPG, so it sounds like tactics, maybe.
Yeah, sort of.
But a lot of cartoon cleavage.
Yes.
And it says players follow Pauline Bonaparte as she takes part in the French Revolution.
Yeah. Gotta love...
So they related to Napoleon, then?
Yeah. Gotta love cartoon cleavage, break. I'm all for it, especially if they make the characters look older. So, there you go. Anything else on that, Eric? It
says it's immediately available with simplified and traditional Chinese on PCs.
Oh, yeah. Break is an expert on both simplified and regular Chinese. So, you know, he would probably definitely get through this game real quick. All right.
So, Chinese people, send them your ask. Dear Breakman questions.
Yeah, Dear Breakman. Dear Breakman.
How many more people could I offend? Let's do this.
Why not, man? All right, Break, you get the honor of the last story.
I thought there were two more stories.
Are there? Did you add another one, Eric? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, just one more. That's all.
Okay, go ahead.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era, Axis confirms that 6 Nintendo Switch Otome games will launch in 2020. 6, huh? Wow. Back in July 2019, Axis hinted at all Nintendo Switch Otome games it had on the way at the Anime Expo 2019, of course. It confirmed that Code Realize, Guardian of Rebirth, Code Realize Future Blessings, Collar Malice Unlimited. Yeah. What?
I think it's Collar Cross Malice, but whatever.
Oh, Cross Malice, okay. Cafe Enchanted and Pyofore no Banshu were on the way. While Code Realize Guardian Rebirth didn't make it out in December 2019 as planned, it'll be coming out this year. The first Nintendo Switch Otome games to come out in this Code Realize Guardian of Rebirth. I just Didn't I just say that, basically?
Yes.
It will arrive on February 6th, so there you go. That it will even have a $39.99 standard and $59.99 collector's edition. To code realize future blessings, release has also been nailed down. That has not been nailed down. It's rather than a general spring 2020 window, has been confirmed for April 2020. That's not really nailed down. They say nailed down, but I correct them.
Yeah.
The other titles are don't expect launch windows just yet for the Color Cross Malice and Color Cross Laos Unlimited. Cafe Enchanted and Pyoferno Banshee are both entirely new to the West visual novels. So, Guardian
Reaper. The other games so far are just ports. Yeah. Those are the only new ones.
Okay. Cool deal if you like visual novels. Anything else on that break?
Mm-hmm.
All right, speaking of visual novels, this is our final story of... I get the honor. I hardly ever get the honor of doing the last story. Isekai visual novel Ascendant Hearts coming to Switch on January 30th. Wake up in a strange new world and go on a real-life RPG adventure. Let's see. So it first launched for PC via Steam in January of 2018, but it's coming to Switch for $9.99. That's a great price. It's probably a small... visual novel then.
Yeah, probably like less than 10 hours.
Yeah. Let me give you a little bit about it. It says Hayato lived an ordinary life until he wakes up one day with amnesia, of course, and finds himself in a world closer to the video games he plays in the world he remembers. Fetch quests, skill points, respawning after death, it's all a bit too much to accept. A mage named Shiori offers to help him find his way, and with her help, he learns how to fight monsters, perform fetch quests, and put items in a strange metaphysical space called an inventory. Ooh. So the key features, I'm just going to go on to the key features, guys.
That's his infinite bag of holding, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Parody of traditional JRPG and MMORPG tropes. Immersive fantasy... holy shit, my page just went crazy here. Immersive fantasy world filled with monsters and memorable characters. Numerous distinct environments, including a haunted library, a mad scientist laboratory, and an eldritch temple. Lighthearted and humorous atmosphere. Three possible romance routes. Three main endings based on your choices. So there you go. Yeah. What's that?
It opens with he has amnesia, but then it says he finds himself in a world closer to the video games he plays than the world he remembers.
Well,
he has amnesia. How does he remember?
It's not total amnesia, then.
Yeah, yeah.
He just probably forgot his name and
selective
maybe what it was.
Selective amnesia.
Yeah, selective amnesia.
His name and everything related to his family, but he remembers playing video games.
Yeah. He can't remember his address, but he remembers Mario Brothers. That's great.
Exactly. All right, so that is the news, everybody. What do we got going on? We got, we actually do have a few homie discounts.
I don't think so. Homie, don't play that.
Homie discounts, there's a really good one on PlayStation Store. If you haven't, I had the Xbox ones up here, so that's why I'm kind of stalling a little bit. If you have not checked out Wolf Among Us, make sure and do so. It's a fantastic game. It's like less it's less than $5 now. So you might want to check that out. It's well worth it if you have PlayStation.
It's Wolf, by the way.
How dare you,
Wolf?
How dare you? I know on the I'm looking at the Xbox deals now. I had it up earlier, but Battlefront 2 is on sale, which is. Actually turned out to be a really good game. I know it was kind of a joke, but it's 40% off. If you're into Farming Simulator, that's 33% off. Not a bad deal there. What else is there? Not safe. NFS Heat, Need for Speed Heat, is 35% off, so that's a decent deal there. The Forza games are on sale, and that looks about to be... If you want to play that shit... storm that is called WWE 2K20. You can get that for 60.
It doesn't even work.
Yeah, right, you can now. Get that. You can get that for 67%.
Are you kidding me? Like that bad, huh?
Yeah, no. 2020 happened, and because of the way the game's programmed, it just doesn't run.
It's completely broken. Wow. That game really is broken. I mean, they They really botched that one. There's a bunch of 360 titles on sale. They, of course, you can play on the Xbox One. I highly recommend playing The Darkness.
So I need to explain, like, because the Y2K bug, the way they fix it is they just changed the date to 20 years later, and now the problems are happening.
Yeah, exactly.
They were fucking lazy, and this is 2K we're talking about, so of course they were lazy.
Yeah, of course. That game is a piece of shit. Don't bother wasting your money on that shit. So that's all of the homie discounts. I didn't see anything noteworthy on Nintendo's side, so there you go. Breakman, should I hit your music?
Oh, you can. I don't have a question, but I've got some comments.
Okay. All right, dear Breakman, what we got?
Random thought from Freak5Chaos. He says, someone should make a movie based off of Paperboy.
That's interesting. I could be down with that, depending on the synopsis of it. But yeah, I'm down. Why not?
I think he sent that like right after the show, too.
It needs to be a crazy Adventures of Babysitting style adventure. Where he's trying to deliver the paper, but crazy shit keeps happening to him.
Yeah.
Starring The Rock. Riding around on a little bike.
Yeah, I think that could work. I mean, there's not a lot game-wise you could work on. I mean, I guess you could, come up with a convoluted story about, how, there's somebody trying to kill the paperboy because, he's driving up the road and that, the cars are always trying to, run over the paperboy. So I guess you could come up with enough material.
Yeah, he does live in the worst neighborhood. Who would want to deliver papers to houses with tombstones in the front yard and cars always trying to run you over and shit?
No, being a paperboy in the modern era wouldn't make sense, so they'd have to make it a period piece.
Yeah, it would definitely be a period, like an 80s period piece. That would work, I think. All right, what else you got?
I still want to see The Rock on a tiny bike.
Yeah.
He also sent us a picture from OG Ron on Twitter. The picture says GameStop going bankrupt and asking for buyers. Oh, how the tides have turned. I'll give you $3.50 for all your stores.
$3.50. Yeah.
They've ended their 10% for trade-ins for used games. So they're basically just trying to discourage people from trading in games.
Yeah, it's wow. They're really on their death knell, aren't they? I mean, let me tell you how bad shape they are in. I had my rewards account hacked into and somebody used up all my rewards points, which there was probably $15 worth of points in there. Mm-hmm. And I emailed – at first I called and they're like, if you have a problem with your rewards account being hacked – so it's obviously a known problem what was going on with me.
Yikes.
But – they gave an email address. Well, I emailed that address and I never got anything back. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to eat the $15. I'm not going to renew my subscription. And that's it. I don't get Game Informer anymore. I wish I could just subscribe to Game Informer. But even then, how much longer is Game Informer going to be around? You know what I mean? So it's whatever. I just let that go. Plus, GameStop's a piece of shit anyway. So fuck them.
Yeah, at GameStop, the one by me, I was talking to one of the guys in there because I know I'm he was saying this place is never busy and the way things are going, he sees that store being closed soon.
Oh yeah.
So even the employees know what's going on.
Yeah, there was one cool dude at the GameStop that I used to go to. And, we used to talk, about Funkos mostly, because that's mostly what I bought there was Funkos, because sometimes they would have, exclusive Funkos and, stuff like that. So, but he obviously left. He saw the writing on the wall. He was like, fuck this, I'm out, So, whatever. I'm not going to say I'm going to shed a tear for GameStop because fuck that company. They treated their gamers like shit the entire time. Like, there was never a time. Do you guys remember, like, the training videos that they used to have for women and girls and, you know, various, like, snafus that they did over the years? That, I mean, that shit comes back to haunt you eventually. You know what I mean? Plus, they just sucked at doing what they did. Like, I know, Breakman, you worked at Hollywood Video, or you know, what was that called?
Like, Game Crazy.
Game Crazy. And every time I would go into a Game Crazy, like, the employees usually were very enthusiastic. They knew the upcoming releases for the most part. They could talk to you about video games because they genuinely were into video games. Anytime I went to a GameStop, nobody knew anything about any RPG especially. But they barely knew about, like, first-person shooters and stuff like that. So I'm like, why do I even come in here? Like, this is a specialty shop, you know? And if you don't know...
I've been fortunate that, like, the GameStops I've gone to, like, at least the past couple of years, the people that know games. But, like,
yeah,
back in the day, the GameStop employees typically did not know.
Yeah, things. No, yeah. Here it's weird. Like, nobody knows about anything. You know, you ask them about Persona, they're like, what's a Persona? You know, like, they don't...
I went there to pick up Tokyo Mirage Sessions the other day, and they were telling me about Persona 5 Royal.
Yeah, so, interesting. Yeah.
Difference.
I don't ask them anything about what's coming up and stuff like that. I can go online and figure it out.
Yeah. Chimera Linguist is in chat. What's up, Chimera Linguist? The Chimera Linguist.
Oh, the.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Welcome
you
on in.
Forgot that at first. You owe him a very big apology, and you must bow to their throne or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How do you beg a king for forgiveness?
Exactly. King or queen. We don't know. So there that's you go. True. Okay. Anything else, Break?
No, that was it.
All right. Let's move on to...
Inquiring minds want to know.
Inquiring minds want to know what you've been playing, Breakman.
Mostly Crackdown. I got my crack fix in.
Your crack fix? Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
I love crack.
Is it still hitting all the notes for you?
Yeah, it's essentially the same as the other Crackdowns. If you've played Crackdown 1 or 2, you've really played this game, essentially. It's just, it has a different map, but the leveling system's very similar, and, you know.
Do you...
The only one thing, like, just like the other ones, I don't use the vehicles very often, so I kind of feel like I'm missing a little part of the game because I'm not. Because I'm on top of the buildings, jumping from rooftop to rooftop, or jumping over the buildings. It's just... It's way too fun being able to do stuff like that than get in the car and just drive. Yeah.
I wish that that team would take on, like, Hulk Ultimate Destruction 2 and see what they could do with it. You know what I mean? I've been waiting for that for a long time because that was a great... Do you remember Ultimate Destruction, Break?
I never got to play it, but I remember.
Oh, God. The game was great, man. You could... first of all, Hulk Smash. That's all you need to know about that game, man, for sure. Anything else you've been playing, Break?
No.
All right, Eric, you're up.
All right, I finished Legend of Detective Mysteria. I got all the epilogue chapters done. And I need to write the review at some point soon. And I've been playing through Kingdom Hearts 3. I'm at the final area. I'm deciding whether or not I should even bother collecting all the snapshots of all the lucky emblems to get the... to work on getting the Ultima weapon, and or maybe I'll just ignore getting an Ultima weapon, just shoot for the Oath Keeper instead, because I only need to get 90 of those, and you have to do a bunch of other things to get all the Aralcum pluses to make that thing. So
yeah, yeah.
But other than that, I've been playing. I tried playing the Vita version of Nightcry, and I almost immediately stopped after I ran into the Scissor Walker because. You die in that game, you have to go back to the title screen. That was already a problem in the PC version, but it's compounded by the fact that the load times are horrendous.
Yeah.
And the game has performance issues.
Ooh, yuck. Yeah. Okay. What else you been playing?
Sounds like a game I'd quit after, like, two or three failures. Like, wait, I gotta start... Oh, fuck that. Done.
Yep.
Done with this game.
Yeah, exactly.
Put my money back. This is shit.
The load times are much better on PC, but the PC version has its own set of issues. Like the fact that it's way too fucking dark in most places. Oh, and there's no brightness settings or whatever whatsoever in that version of the game.
Does anybody cry in the night in that game?
And the character models are ugly in both versions, and obviously the rated version has even less textures and features than the PC version does, but the voice acting's bad.
Jesus Christ, there's nothing good about this game.
Which I expect because Clock Tower did, so, and this is basically a spiritual successor of that, and the same people who developed it, but...
So is it, like, intentionally bad, or just... Or
it's
just
intentionally bad, but...
Okay.
But, It's even if it's an intentionally bad game, it doesn't even have a Deadly Premonition budget. It's worse than Deadly Premonition.
Wow.
And the game clearly needed a larger budget because it shows just it doesn't have the charm that a game like Deadly Premonition has.
No. Okay. What else you got, Eric? What else you been playing?
I've been watching a Let's Play on the internet because I don't want to play through it myself.
Okay. What else you been playing, Eric?
I played a little bit of Tokyo Tattoo Girls, and that game's boring as shit. it's a simulation game, but like the problem is like a game like this, doesn't have a whole lot of action going on into it, and you'd think this would be the perfect game for the Japanese market to do the fan service bullshit to it, and it doesn't. So what you're left with is like the only time you get any kind of fan service at all is when you're looking at the back of a girl to put tattoos on her, because like the game has a whole gimmick where they got tattoos that give them mysterious powers, and like they have like one tattoo that gives them a specific power, and then you can add tattoos to the other parts of their body to strengthen that power.
Sweet. That actually
sounds...
So how
many the lower back tattoos can you give the
So like you get side boob and under boob, but you don't get full frontal because it's a tattoo.
Yeah.
But,
well, I was hoping that they had like a pasty tattoo you could put on the nips. That
plus,
be...
it's also.
I was gonna say I've seen like tattooed nipples before. Like that's ridiculous.
But it's a console game, so they can't go M-rated. So
I've actually seen.
If there's a body part, it's been tattooed.
Yeah, hey, Break. I actually have seen some really cool nipple tattoos, man. They're actually some decent ones out there. But you know, that's this is a PG-13.
Anyways,
show, but, you know.
So it's basically like a MOE version of like a Yakuza simulator. So it's basically like the mini game from Yakuza Zero where you do real estate, but you're watching it happen in real time, but you're not getting any kind of feedback as to what's being successful. You just watch numbers go up and down mainly.
Yeah, go
around. That's not very exciting.
Okay. You play anything else exciting, Eric?
That's basically the review, but now I just have to write it.
Okay. What else have you been playing, Eric? Anything?
I started up Seven Scarlet because I finished Land of Detective Mysterio.
Okay. Awesome. All right. I've been playing a little bit of Kingdom Hearts 3, just like Eric. How far am I into the game, Eric? I just beat the Pirates of the Caribbean.
After Pirates of Caribbean, there's San Francisco, and then there's the final area.
Oh, that's right. I'm in San Fran, Tokyo, however they say that.
Big Hero 6 was not a great movie, but
I liked it.
I think what you do in the game is more entertaining than what happened in that entire movie.
That's the movie was okay though. It was just okay. It was fun.
The worst thing about the movie is Randall. Put an annoying character in there. Just have an annoying character because they're annoying.
I like Fred the best. Fred was the best. But I'm in that area now.
Talking about the black dude with the blades.
Yeah, not that one. The dude in the monster costume. He's the best.
Yeah, that's Randall. That's the annoying character.
That's Fred. Fred's the dude in the costume. He's the best. Oh. He's awesome.
Maybe I heard their names wrong.
Yeah,
I don't know. I can't remember since the last time I saw the movie.
But so. Yeah, I'm in the middle of that actually. I Yeah, I think I'm about halfway through that world. So you're saying there's one more world after that, and then I'll be done? That sounds about right, because I'm like 27 hours into the game.
Well, so there's like an interlude before the final world where you have to do stuff.
Okay.
And then, like, plot happens.
Yeah, I might...
You get, like, two boss fights, and then you get to the final area.
I might have it done by now. I've never done an official review of Kingdom Hearts 3, so I might have that for you guys next week if I can.
The DLC to me feels like maybe if we delayed this game just to like by even like 6 months, we could have had this DLC out as a part of the main game.
Yeah,
so
well,
it feels like I'm paying $30 for the last part of the game.
Yeah, I'm not paying that.
And I'm
much.
Not paying $30. I'm waiting until sale.
Yeah, me too. I'm not gonna do that.
I don't have time for it right now. Anyways, I mean, I only set enough aside time to play through for the main game.
Yeah, I mean, I only paid $20 for Kingdom Hearts, the main game, anyway. So why would I pay $30 for the add-on? No, I'm not doing that.
I bought mine for like $40 because of a pricing error on Amazon way back when.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's all I've been playing. So let us move on to
RP Grinders reviews.
Hey, Breaka, do you have any reviews this week?
Trying to think of what. Actually, I kind of do.
Okay.
Me and Mrs. Bergman watched a very, very hard show to watch. Really very depressing. It's probably the most depressing show I've seen since Requiem of a Dream.
Okay.
But unlike Requiem of a Dream, this ends with kind of a positive ending, kind of a happy-ish ending. Oh, freaks in chat. Sorry, dude. Somebody needs to tell them the audio's on.
Yeah, I'll
YouTube.
Do that. Mm. Continue.
It's called Unbelievable. And the basic story, and it's based on a true story, is why it's so hard. But what happens is a girl is raped, and they kind of show the rape as much as they can and what she experiences. They go really into depth into this stuff. And that's what makes the show really hard to watch, is how much in depth they go into things like that. They go into that, and then she goes to the hospital, and she has to go through all these procedures. Mm-hmm. It's so uncomfortable to watch. But at the same time, like I feel like it was a valuable thing to watch, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
it,
yeah.
Because it really does hammer home like how horrific rape can be, how horrific rape is. You know what I mean?
Right, and also, like, from what you're telling me, it's like it takes you through what happens when that horrible event type happens. So it's more of like an awareness type deal.
Yeah. And this one, and like I said, this is based on true events. And what happens with this girl is she gets kind of badgered by the police when she, you know, talks about a rape, and then they say the stories are inconsistent. And
sounds
stuff
about
like
right.
That.
Sounds about
and
right.
And the cop don't believe anything she says, you know, basically by the end of it. And she just wants to get out of there. She just wants to get away from them because they're not believing her. Nobody's believing her at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she recounts, she says, no, never mind. It didn't happen. I made it up.
Right.
And from there, we go to the two detectives who are investigating a rape that. Basically, they find out that there's a serial rapist, and they go investigating that, and it leads all the way back to, you know, her being probably his first victim.
Oof, yeah.
So it's proven that she was raped initially, and that the cops were assholes, and it was, yeah.
Is it based on a true story, Break?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay. That's why I said, like, two times, I think. Yeah. It was good, though. Was good.
It's, you know, I have to be in the right mood to watch those. Like you mentioned, Requiem from a Dream. That one is a really tough. You know, Bernie and I went, and I should have put that in our marathon. We had a marathon of tough to watch movies, but for some reason we went the horror route and not the, you know, just normal, you know, encompass everything route, because Requiem from a Dream would definitely fit that mold. What you're saying would like another one that's kind of hard to watch is I Spit on Your Grave. That's mm-hmm. that's kind of tough to watch. Yeah, there's a bunch.
I
get
that about like all the Saw movies too. They're focused on trying to do like the torture porn stuff, and they're just instead of like making a movie, it's just like let's focus on
Passion of the Christ is a tough to watch movie.
Passion of the Christ is definitely on that list, yes. Eric, for sure. That's a tough.
One of her, never seen it.
Yeah, it's good. It's a really good movie. I just, you know, obviously me being an atheist.
Good movie on a completely fictitious event.
I agree with that, Eric. But they changed things so much from, you know, they made it Hollywood. I mean, that's the way it was. But
that's what Hollywood does.
So what are you giving? What's the name of the movie again? Break?
Unbelievable. It's not a movie. It's a limited series.
Okay. And what would you give?
Because of the, I think the realistic depictions of, and I should say before it ends, like I said, they finally catch the guy and they're able to prove that she was raped and vindicate all the women who go through it. And you get to see like what he goes through, like what the police make him do. Like they prick, they pull out hairs from his skin, from pubic hair and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What, you watched it? Why are you saying ew? Oh.
Who, me?
No, Mrs. Brinkman. Oh. She's like, ew. Like, yeah, they. I mean, they kind of go out of their way to humiliate him too, like the rapist. As far as like the person who's making, because it really does feel like you're just like this girl's just being humiliated in every way, and just watching everything she goes through is just so tough.
You know, it really is.
And Mrs. Brinkman was like saying, like she starts to get on your nerves because of like how she's. Like shutting down and just saying nothing, like I didn't do it, and instead of fighting back for herself, she just shuts down, and it's hard to watch.
Yeah. There's a few movies and series like that. Like one that was pretty hard to watch was The Killing. I don't know if you've ever seen that, Break, but
The Killing. I watched most of that, and I never watched the end of The Killing. I didn't see the last couple episodes.
Yeah, it's good. It's kind of heartbreaking. You know, it's like one of those, oh, God, man, it's really tough to watch. But, yeah. So what are you giving it, Break?
I guess an 8-ish, maybe. I guess an 8.
It's probably in the category of you see it once and you don't ever want to go back to it type thing. Right, Break?
Yeah. Unless I'm just skipping to the end, you know, the rapist is getting what he deserves. He's going to prison.
Yeah.
He's sitting under the trial and stuff like that, and they found him guilty.
Yeah.
They don't make us go through the whole trial experience. Thank God, though. That would have been horrible.
Yeah.
It was mostly, most of the show was the investigation and what the girl is going through.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay. All right. 8 out of 10. Sounds like if you want to watch something super depressing, that's going to be the show for you. So,
but like I said, it has that happy kind of happy ending because it doesn't unrape the women that are in it and like, you know, and the stuff that they go through and knowing that it's a true story and that it's based on a true story and like this stuff happened for the most part. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's Hollywood, as we said, Hollywood's up stuff, like they change things. And,
yeah, of course.
But okay. I mean, the general thing is that there was a girl who was raped and then recounted because of what the police did to her and nobody believed her.
Yeah.
And just what she went through.
You know, a lot of rape victims, female rape victims, a lot of times, like, they'll say, you know, the rape, of course, was horrific, but even worse is when, you know, the cops don't believe you and give you a hard time. That's, you know, so you're getting victimized, like, more than once, you know, type thing. Yeah. Okay, Eric, you're up. You have a couple of reviews.
Yeah, I've got a review of One Punch Man Season 2.
Okay.
Yes.
The only thing I don't like about this season is the fact that it ends on such an odd note.
Yeah, don't like, spoil. I kind of was shocked by that. Like, I was like, wait, oh, that's the final fight? Oh, that's it?
Is that going to be it for One Punch Man, or are they going to have
It might be because they haven't made any announcements on Season 3.
Oof, okay.
The manga's still going, and you can read the manga on Viz's app. And Viz's subscription fee is only about, like, what, $2 to $3 per month.
It's fairly popular. I'm pretty sure we're gonna get Season 3, no problem.
Yeah,
but just how soon? Because there was a 3-year gap between the first two seasons.
True, but like I was kind of thinking like
and the streaming services haven't even got the dub version yet. So
the way it ended, even though it was kind of like sudden and stuff like that, it did kind of make sense as the show was going on because. Well, go ahead and do your review.
I don't know. And, well, the other thing that sucks is they switched from Madhouse to JC Staff, which is a decent enough animation company. I mean, they do the Konosuba anime that is on Crunchyroll, but JC isn't as good as Madhouse. But I did like the fact that they talked a little bit more about the different factions. Like, there's the martial artists, or just martial artists, some who become part of the Hero Association, some who don't. And then there's the group of monsters that apparently they don't make any suggestions that the monsters that they've been fighting in season one are related to that group, but they probably are.
Well, I think a lot of the monsters in season one were like kings, you know, like I'm the king of the sky and I'm the king of the ocean and stuff like that. So they probably weren't. But I'm just guessing. I don't know. Maybe they were. You could be right.
But it might explain why there's so many monsters, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this show definitely needs monsters. Without monsters, there is nothing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you want to fight heroes that have gone corrupt a lot, which could be interesting.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think they are gearing up for the finale of the entire series to be the one S-class hero guy who's in the Hero Association who's obviously gone off the deep end. Yeah. But, like, nothing's really set him off yet, but he's probably somebody who's not to be trusted.
Yeah. Okay. So what are you giving season two, One Punch Man, Eric?
I'm going to give it a 9.
A 9, okay. That sounds really good. I love that. I love the first season, so...
Yeah, you know. Second season's really good, too.
Freak 5 is in chat. He says, I got started on Marvel Runaways. I want to watch that.
Even after I warned him?
Yeah. He says he's liking it, but he had one moment that challenged his suspension of disbelief.
What do you think of the Gifted show?
I've like Gifted.
It. I've never seen it.
I thought Gifted treated mutants like the actual comics treat mutants, which is they're basically hated and despised, and it's hard to be a mutant because you know, people want you dead, just everywhere.
Yeah.
It treated way better than the movies, a lot more accurate. But what was I saying? Oh, the Marvel Runaways. Both the first and second season took, like, I don't know, like 10 minutes out of a certain episode to go have a party. Like, they just have to stop and dance and do a music thing or something, because you could tell it was made for kids. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I have a problem with the telepathic link to the dinosaur. Well,
that happens in the comic. That's, isn't that Kamala Khan and Devil Dinosaur? Isn't that how it goes in the comic?
No.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is, isn't it?
This is a character not that's like Runaways. That character, but not.
Well, they might have changed it in the show. I haven't seen the show, but I think in the comics, if I'm not mistaken, it's Devil Dinosaur and Kamala Khan. So I don't know.
These are different characters.
Okay, all right.
Like this dinosaur is called Old Lace.
Okay, yeah, it's different.
Maybe people are mad because it isn't.
And this is a raptor, not a Tyrannosaurus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha.
Devil Dinosaur is a Tyrannosaurus.
I got you. Yeah. Okay, so we're talking something completely different.
Yeah.
I still had one review, by the way. We kind of...
I jacked your review. You can suck off. Get away. My review now. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, Freak, he brought up Marvel Runaways, and I'm just... my problem was when one kid found a working payphone...
Really?
Yeah, found it work. Yeah, is there ever? I mean, I haven't seen a working payphone in. Fuck, it's got to be at least what 15 years, 20 years, Freak Five. So yeah, I would definitely be like, that's weird. You know,
a lot of the teen angst annoyed me with the show. But like I said, the third season I quite enjoyed, especially with bringing in Elizabeth Hurley as the big bad. Like,
yeah,
she's always entertaining, you know.
Yeah, of course. She's like,
she played a fun devil.
Oh yeah, that was good. What was it, She Devil, I think it was, or
was that what it was called, with Brendan Fraser?
Yeah, what the hell was that called? It was a good movie. I like that movie. It was good. Okay, what else you got, Eric?
I got a review for Toradora with that exclamation point because it's part of the title.
Yeah.
But it is an anime adaptation of the manga or light novel. I can't remember which it actually belongs to, but light novels are basically manga, but they're not serialized. They're printed in volumes usually, but they're usually also, well, I think light novels also have like walls of text, but like with images to like complement them. It is a romantic comedy about a girl who has, look, for various reasons, the way she was raised, has trouble relating to people and gets in the violent outburst. And she's sort of a tsundere-like character where, like, she'll be really mean, but, like, then eventually come around and be sweet, which is a trope that's existed in anime for a long time. But I think this show does it good because a lot of the times with tsundere characters, they're one-dimensional, and they're just like that the entire run. But, like, this is about her becoming, getting older and growing up and learning that you can't do that shit and you need to get your shit together.
Yeah.
All right. And it's about basically her hooking up with this guy who has his own set of issues about the public's or the school's perception of him. They think he's a delinquent because of the scowl that he has, which he can't really help because it's like the way his muscles work or whatever. But and the fact that his own dad was kind of a bum.
So you're saying he has resting bitch face?
Yeah, he basically has resting bitch face, and he can't stop it.
That sucks.
That was a good observation break.
But anyways, he has a crush on some girl, and she has a crush on some guy, which is funny because that guy was rejected by her when he asked her out, like, the year prior. And early, or no, maybe not the year, I think their first years, but like it's been 6 months since then. And like, I guess it was the start of the school year, but she didn't realize she had feelings for him until after she had rejected him.
But that's how it usually goes. Anyways,
they're trying to help each other hook up with these people, but as time goes on, they learn to grow feelings for each other. And then there's also like a love. I'm going to call it a love square because it's not a love triangle because there's three other girls who like the main male lead, but like there's various issues and complications that arise because of that.
Hmm. Okay.
So it's a good show, and you can watch it subbed and dubbed and on VRV and Crunchyroll, but you might want to watch it now because Nisa is the one who acquired the license for the show, and they're not renewing it, so it might be disappearing from streaming platforms soon, and it's really hard to find the retail copies.
Hmm, interesting.
But if it does get license rescued, which it probably will, it'll probably either go to Funimation or Sentai.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we're going to start seeing less and less retail copies, too, of any of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you guys are definitely right on that.
But so I'm gonna give this show also a 9.
Okay, wow, that's
I never watched the dub, but maybe I'll come back next week and like I'll watch an episode and tell you what I thought of most of the characters. I'll get to an episode where the most of the main cast is introduced.
If you're interested, you can get it on eBay right now. It says complete series on DVD for
I'd be very leery of what that says, though, because it might be, like, bootleg.
It might be, like, what?
A bootleg copy that you're getting from China that's been sold by the Triads.
It looks like it's a sponsored type thing, so...
Yeah, I don't think it has a proper Blu-ray release, so you're looking for the DVD set, because that's how old the show is.
That's what I said. I just said $22.50 for the DVD. It's not too bad for the entire series if you're looking to get that, so there you go. Okay, I have a real quick review of Zombieland 2. A very worthy follow-up to Zombieland 1. All the main characters are returning, have returned. More of the same, more rules. I really enjoyed it. The time went by quick for me on it.
Can I ask you real quick? Did they have the best kill, or what was that? Kill of the day or kill of the week or something?
No, I didn't see that in part two. Oh. But there's something even better in this version. Okay. They introduce a new character, and she's a riot. She's like this ditzy, like a valley girl. I can't remember her name, but she was great. Whoever that actress is did a really, really good job. They had the kill of the year. So you have to watch it for that. And it basically involves them traveling, and for some reason the women kind of want to get away from the guys. I guess it's that whole, we've been with each other for, how long now, roaming the countryside. We need to do something different type thing. But they end up getting all back together and some zaniness ensues. Another new addition is Rosario Dawson, She's always great in almost anything she does. So, I highly recommend watching it. I give it an 8 out of 10. I think it's a worthy sequel. Lots of funniness, like what you expect from Zombieland. I find, I can't remember what his name is. The one of the main characters, the nerdy dude. What's his name? Eisner? I can't remember.
Jesse Eisenberg?
Yeah, Eisenberg. I don't like Jesse Eisenberg. I've come to the conclusion. I don't think he's a great actor, but the other actors definitely, fill the void. And there's even some appearances by Luke Wilson, another dude that looks like Eisenberg that kind of, mimic their characters, kind of like a bizarro world type thing.
I don't like any of the Wilson twins, but I think Luke is better.
I like Luke. Luke Wilson actually has been in some movies that I like Vacancy. Vacancy is a great movie. Weiland says anything is better than that horrible Zombieland TV series pilot. I never saw that, Weiland, and I'm kind of glad I didn't, especially coming from you. You're definitely a horror guru like me, so if you say it's bad.
Twins, I mean brothers, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I give it an 8 out of 10. I highly recommend watching it. It's out on Redbox and, streaming services and not streaming services, but where
you didn't even know Zombieland had a TV pilot.
It did. And I heard awful things about it, and that's why I didn't, didn't go into it. It was god awful, Weiland says. So there you go. Let's move on.
On a scale of, god awful versus Star Wars Holiday Special, how awful is it?
It's Star Wars Holiday Special, I heard, man. It was that bad. Okay, let's move on to everybody's favorite segment.
Ah, what is it?
Stinko of the Week.
Breakman, let's start with you. Stinko of the Week. Do we have Breakman? Are you on mute? Jesus, did we lose Breakman? Please tell me.
Well, apparently it was made by the people who did the first movie. So what were they all, stoned or something when they made the movie?
Wow, that's really weird. They must have been stoned. Breakman, do we have you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Or the person who greenlit it was stoned. And they were all stoned.
Yeah, probably. All right, we're on to our stinkos, Breakman. What you got?
My stinko goes to the impeachment farce that's going on right now. And I say it's not a farce that he is being impeached, or that he was impeached, but I mean...
Removal
from office, I guess, trial, really, right. Whether he should be removed from office, I should say. And not what's going on, because I think Shift has done a great job of laying it out. I think that for the most part, I think all Democrats have done a great job of showing, hey, look at this. We even have video of him saying this stuff. Like, look. Like, if you're not going to give us witnesses, then we'll just, you know, show you what he's done and laying it out, like, exactly what he's done. But as we said, there should have been more. There should have been a lot more indictments. I mean, a lot more. He should have been impeached for a lot more things. But my main problem goes to they're trying to advertise to a party who is blatantly obstructing or blatantly avoiding it at all costs. They have been doing, and apparently you're supposed to sit and listen. You can have like water and milk, and you can get like a break or two, you know. But the Republicans have been doing things like reading novels and playing with fidget spinners and stuff, you know.
Yeah, and they also
it's basically saying they are, and they all swore to be a nonpartisan, but they are all in it for Trump, and it's just it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, we all knew this was going to happen, but just watching it happen is just such a disgrace.
Yeah,
and McConnell's made it so we obviously can't see with the cameras aren't. They don't put the cameras on the Republicans that are doing any of this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
We have to hear about it from the reporters, which, you know, then they say, no, that's lies. Those are lies and stuff like that.
Yeah. Whatever. You know, there also was a point where some of the Republicans weren't in the chamber when the testimony or not testimony, but the opening remarks were going on. And it's against House rules, but of course McConnell isn't going to enforce anything. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody really cares. And you know what? I'm focused on the long game break, and I haven't even been watching the trial because we all already know what's going to happen, you know? I keep up on these things. And
I know. Like, we already know for the most part what's going to happen. I think there might be a few people who's flipped, but it's not going to be enough to get him out of office. And, you know, and the people who are solidly in his, you know, in his camp are going to, you know, solidly stay there. I mean, yeah. We'll probably get, like, Mitt Romney to flip, and then for the most part, everybody else will support him and say, you know, they keep saying this. What he did was wrong, but it's not an impeachable offense. Well, if what he's doing is wrong, then what's the punishment? Is there going to be no punishment? So you're saying it was wrong, but, you know, we're not going to do anything about it. So, you know, if you don't do anything about it, you know what they do is they amp it up. And that's what Trump did because, you know, Russian investigation – you know, you laid out key things that needed to be investigated, but he obstructed on. He wasn't giving them enough evidence to prosecute him because, you know, whatever. And they didn't enforce anything, so obviously the whole Ukraine thing happened because they didn't stop him the first time.
Yeah.
And obviously the China thing happened too. Like, he gets on television and says, hey, China, you know, if you got anything. And then, you know, why would I give it to the FBI if somebody else tells me?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
See, here's
and Clinton was impeached for lying about a blowjob. See, the thing is with Clinton, too, we shouldn't compare it because Clinton didn't fight like Trump is doing. There were witnesses. Trump, he was impeached because he lied under oath. He went under oath. Trump refuses to do anything like that.
Yeah. Well, look, I said this a long time ago, and I think you did too, Brake. It's going to be up to the voters. You know what I mean? Like, there's no question that,
I worry, like, the guys, a lot of these dirt bags, like Jim Jordan, I don't think is ever going to go anywhere. I think he's going to be in there for years and years to come because of because of the district he's in, you know?
Yeah,
and just I just think that there's going to be a lot of those guys that are just going to stick around for years and years and years, and there's nothing we can do.
Well, there is something we can do, and I look, there's consequences to Trump's actions, not by Congress, because obviously they're a bunch of feckless pieces of shit, and the Democrats don't want to rock the boat too hard because they're benefiting money wise by a lot of what's going on. They vote for Trump's budget, military budget, over and over and over again, up to and including people that are supposed to be progressive, like Elizabeth Warren, and I could name a bunch. I mean, the only two that I can think of that voted against every single one of Trump's budgets for the military are Bernie Sanders and Tulsi Gabbard, right? I mean, nobody else has. You can look at the rolls. You can see for yourself. It's going to be up to the voters, Brake. And I think a lot of those Republicans are going to get their asses handed to them in some not all districts. So. Not all districts. Like, there's going to be some. Like, I think – I actually think Mitch McConnell's going to skate by this time around again, even though he's one of the most unpopular senators, because – The person that they have going up against him is a woman named Amy McGrath. She's a veteran, so good on her for that. But she's a worthless piece of shit Trump supporter anyways. It just goes on and on, man. Like, it's a perpetual – this is the reason why I am all in for Bernie Sanders, Breakman, because
– Oh, and Freak said something in chat. He said, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go right ahead.
I want to correct him real quick. He says, I know, but my response when they say Trump didn't do anything impeachable, you forget. Trump was impeached.
He was.
To make this clear. Like that, because I've seen that, like the Republicans arguing back. Like, no, there's no impeachment. No, he was impeached.
Yes, he's an impeached
president.
Let's
be clear. Like, he was impeached.
Yep, absolutely. And it's really weird. Like, I think if you're impeached, you shouldn't be allowed to go for re-election. You know what I mean? I think that should be the end of your political career, and then we can move on. You know, we can pick somebody different. The Republicans can pick a different candidate that, you know, could be either like Trump or not like Trump. I mean, they have to decide that for themselves.
Well, it would be Pence, because, you know, they're not going into these criminal investigations like they should, because, I mean, Lev Parnas has basically said that, hey, everybody, including, you know, Mike Pence, knew what was going on. For the most part, you know.
Yeah.
Like they're all criminal. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you, Brake.
I've always known there's corruption in Washington, which is one of the reasons why I refused to vote for so long, because there's so many dirty people. For the most part, all of them are on the take, you know.
Yeah, I know. And you know, I'm high on Bernie Sanders and because he has a 40-year track record of being on the right side of history with a bunch of things. I could go on and on about his record and what he's done, what he hasn't done, et cetera, et cetera. But that doesn't mean that if Bernie was elected that I wouldn't be critical of Bernie, because I would. You know, Bernie – like, for instance, Bernie is still – he's not a gun nut like the Republicans, you know, but you got to think of his base in Vermont. Like, a lot of people up there hunt, and they're kind of pro gun, you know. And he's voted like basically the Republican way when it comes to guns for the most part. But I could see a person like Bernie like changing his tune, especially with all the mass shootings that we've had and stuff like that. So I would hold his feet to the fire. You know, and I would want him to adopt things like I don't know, like Andrew Yang's UBI, for instance. As long as it doesn't cut Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and stuff like that, which I'm pretty sure he would, you know, he could be hedged that way. You know, he's one of these people that I think, you know, genuinely has the best interest of the people. Whereas I can't say that about anybody else, up to and including Elizabeth Warren. You know, Elizabeth Warren's the spoiler of this campaign, and it pains me to say that, but, you know, because I liked a lot of the financial things she did in the CFP and you know, stuff like that. But, you know, we need revolution. We don't need, you know, this little incremental, you know, oh, maybe we'll give you a few crumbs this year. You know what I'm saying? So I agree with you, Brake. It's a sham. The whole trial is a sham. But, you know, we've got a vote.
One of the big arguments. There's two big arguments. Basically, like I said, they say what he did. Okay, the two big arguments are from Republicans that, you know, what he did was wrong, but it's not impeachable, which we talked about.
Right.
And then the other one is that, why don't you litigate it in court? That was Nancy Pelosi's strategy for the last few years. Yeah, you know, it's like, let's litigate in court. Look what's happened. Nothing.
Nothing. You know? Yeah. I know. It's just, oh man. I just don't understand. Why
their
even
defense is totally weak.
Like, you know what? You know what Mitch McConnell should do? He should just listen to all the arguments the Democrats have which I think Adam Schiff, as much as I don't like that guy, he's done a pretty good job of like presenting
I'm not saying I'm his fan or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. Like I'm not saying like I trust him, but I say he's done an amazing job of, I think, laying this out in every way. Point for point, like what this did, you know, Trump did, and this is ridiculous. Yeah.
And what I think the Republicans should do is just continue on with their sham trial. I think McConnell should just call it a day and say, you know what, we're not, he's exonerated or whatever the fuck they do in their, you know, kangaroo court, and just be done with it. And then the American voters can go into the next election cycle with whoever the nominee is, which I think it's going to be Bernie Sanders, especially based on the latest polls. But we should go into it knowing that we have the Democratic nominee, whoever that may be, up against the impeached president, and that way there's at least, you know, kind of fair grounds, slightly leaning towards the Democrats almost no matter who is the nominee. I have my problems with every one of them other than Bernie and maybe Tulsi on the outside, but you know, we just got to vote the motherfucker out. I mean, like how Rashida Tlaib said, we're going to impeach the motherfucker. We're going to vote the motherfucker out. That's all we can do, break. You know, we can't we can't do anything other than use our vote for good. You know, whatever that, you know, your definition of good is. So I'm looking forward to this election, break, more
definition
so than...
Definition of good. You know what? Speaking of, like, the definition of good, like, the Republican Party has no real definition of good. They're the biggest fucking hypocrites on the planet, and I can prove it real quick. Right now, though, how GOP is trying to get one candidate to battle out of the race. They want him out because he signed up for Ashley Madison several years ago.
So what?
Well, you know? We're talking about the people who are defending adamantly the guy who paid a porn star to not ride him out into the press while his wife was pregnant and he was sleeping with his porn star.
Mm-hmm.
Because he slept with that porn star while his wife was pregnant, I mean.
Yeah. Well, why do the evangelicals?
Like, so they don't have any morals. They're full of shit. Yeah. They're hypocrites.
Well, that's
it's a
true.
Bunch of lies.
And they also do underhanded things like gerrymandering and why if you're a real American, why don't you want everybody to vote? And the answer is real clear. They gerrymander like minorities out of the equation completely, so they don't have they're shielded from that vote. You know what I mean, Breakman? So there's a lot of things that I don't like about the Republican Party. More things that I don't like about the Republican Party than I don't like about the Democrats.
Speaking of that, like the voting registration or voting machines are being attacked by Russian. We know that, and other countries like China, and they're not doing anything about that. Yeah. They say they're worried about our voting systems being tampered with and fake votes and stuff like that. But then they turn around, you know, like you just said, they target minorities and they gerrymander and they do stuff like that. Yeah. But then we're being attacked and they don't want to do anything about that. McConnell
well,
doesn't want
you know,
to.
It's – I mean, we'll see this election.
It's hypocrisy. They have no morals.
Right. Well, that's true. I could make the same argument for the Democrats, but lesser so than the Republicans.
But on this one, they are lining out the facts. They've proven without a shadow of a doubt that he knew what was going on. And every day more evidence comes out, like there was a hot mic that he was caught saying something under.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently in the Ukraine, saying like, you know, get rid of this woman, like she's got to go.
Yep, yep. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter to the Republicans though. They don't care. It's party over country, no matter what. So you know, whatever. I mean, there's nothing we can do but vote, break, and hope that.
What scares me is there's so many people that vote. They don't care. You know, they're still going to be with him no matter what.
I think that's shrinking. I think all he has is 25% break. You'll see next election.
But the problem is like it. Well, yeah. I mean, you're right. You are right. I worry that a lot of people aren't going to get out the vote.
Yeah. Well,
and we know that his supporters are going to be so adamant,
you know,
about it. Like
that's a great point.
Reading today, the single. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was saying that's a great point, break, because it matters how many people get out to vote, and I think there's only one candidate that will bring out the Democrats to, I mean, does anybody think anybody's excited for Joe Biden? Do you, would you be excited to vote for Joe Biden, Brake? I wouldn't.
I wouldn't be excited if he was coming. Like, I think of the guy as like the senile old uncle. Like, you don't look forward to seeing him at a family reunion, you know?
Yeah.
He's a guy you don't really want to be around.
Well, his quote,
like,
on...
you think that he might have been handsy with your cousins and stuff. Yep. Like, you
yep.
just.
Yep. Just look at the turnout. Just look at the turnout to his events compared to Bernie, and that's all you need to know about who will bring out the vote. You know what I mean?
Not that I had an uncle like that.
Freak 5 says his sweeto was the Applebee's Unlimited Riblets, Wings, and Shrimp. That sounds really good. Stinko, he didn't have room for dessert, and they had a new one that looked really good. So,
hey, wait, what was it?
I'd like to know. Yeah. All right. We got to move on. Anything else on that break?
I want to go on a food quest later, so I'd like to know more about food.
Yeah, I know. Applebee's sounds kind of good.
It's just it's all messed up. Like, what's going on, and the people that still support him. Because I read earlier today, I was reading one of these single issue voters. Mm. Like, basically, they vote for they're pro life, is what they say. You know, but Republican hypocrisy. You can't be pro life and pro war.
Yeah. Yeah,
that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, Weiland says
it doesn't make sense logically or any way. Period. Man.
It makes sense if you're willing to forego all the bad that's also there. It's like your pro-life stance is so great and so part of your being that you're gonna overlook all the other stuff.
Yeah. Bernie says
I was kind of like ooh because of the Stinko and
yeah.
Chat.
Bernie says I'm hungry now because we've been talking about food. Weiland says my Stinko was kidney stones and a sweeto was passing them yesterday. Wow, that's cool. I mean, it sucks that you had those, Weiland, but it's cool that you had
them
passed.
Yeah.
that's good, man. I know Weiland. I talked about this last week. I think about Weiland being in the. ER and how, you know, it's kind of concerned, but so
just ouch.
Yeah, hopefully
how painful they are.
Glad you're feeling a little bit better. Hopefully those don't return, Weiland, because that's, I mean, I can only think of two things that are worse than kidney stones: cluster headaches, which I suffer from, and childbirth, which I've never suffered from.
I was gonna say childbirth.
Yep, those are the only two things that are worse. So, okay, we need to move on unless you have anything else, Brake.
No.
Okay.
I mean, we've talked enough about these assholes.
Eric, your stinkos.
My stinkos are Nintendo winning a lawsuit for digital pre-order cancellations. Basically, what happened was Nintendo of Europe. I'll just read the article. Nintendo of Europe has won the Nintendo eShop pre-order cancellation case being brought to it against it in Germany. After deliberations, the court ruled that Nintendo is not engaging in any illegal activities by not allowing customers to cancel any pre-orders they make for digital purchases in the eShop and dismiss the case.
That sucks. You can't cancel your pre-order?
Yeah, it's basically no returns on a digital pre-order.
Oh, fuck that, man. That's some
bullshit.
See,
this is what's been going on with the courts. This is why Mitch McConnell loves Trump, is because he's getting as many like pro-business and... pro-rich judges in our courts as he possibly can get.
Yeah. Wyland says Sunday was 12.
It's going to be pro-corporation, it's going to be anti, you know, anything like unions or
See, this
people.
Is, that's why I know I beat the drum for Bernie every fucking week until the fucking election. Because these are the type of things that Bernie wants to do away with. Get rid of corporate power. Give it back to the people.
Rid of old people that don't understand online e-commerce infrastructures.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
We need term limits. We've talked about that many times.
Absolutely.
One of the biggest problems is those people get in there and they make a career out of being a politician.
If I were the judge, I would have been like, no, Nintendo. In fact, I'm going to make sure that a law is written up to force you to not do this again.
Yeah, I think
if somebody should buy something or they put money down, they should be able to cancel it no question.
Yeah, you know? It shouldn't be treated as a purchase. It should be treated as an actual pre-order.
Yeah.
And you only get charged once the game launches.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Well, when I would ran my we talked about Game Crazy earlier. When I ran a store with
Force Nintendo or Sony or whoever the shop is who runs the shop.
Yeah.
To only charge you once the game ships.
I guess the moral of the story is don't pre-order anything. You know,
online.
When you pre-order with me, if you didn't want that game, I'd let you change your other game. Or if you didn't, you know, if you didn't want to pre-order anything and you changed your mind, I gave you your money back.
Yeah, that's the way it should be.
It's absolutely ridiculous, Nintendo.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
And the judge is ridiculous too.
Yeah, I totally agree. But that's in Germany. Hopefully, you know, something similar like that doesn't happen here. What else you got?
In Germany.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure
the
setup
is what I was saying about the Trump
lawyers. Yeah. What's that?
I'm pretty sure the Nintendo of America and Nintendo of Japan have the exact same setup on theirs.
Yeah, and I'm sure.
It's just somebody tried to sue them for it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Eric, we got to move on. Next, you have another stinko.
Yeah, the other stinko is. Oh, boy. Somebody wants to do a new story with the Hardy Boys that features the murder of Nancy Drew.
Well, why is this a stinko to you, Eric? Because,
because the Arthur is a complete fucking liar because he says he loves Nancy Drew. And by how? You're going to make a story where she's dead?
Yeah, but look, they can always bring Nancy Drew back. I mean, they could say this isn't canon and this is just, you know, a what-if type scenario a la Marvel. So I was kind of thinking, why is this a stinko, Eric? Because, like, sometimes with characters like that have been around for years and years and years...
It's a fucking girlfriend in a refrigerator trope that needs to fucking die.
Well, okay,
What if his follow-up is to do the opposite? Nancy Drew investigates their murder.
Yeah, see, that's a good point. That's what I was going to bring up, right?
That's like supposition that, you know... I'm tired of seeing it happen.
Eric,
isn't they're killing off Nancy Drew though, right?
No,
this is just like they're one story.
Yeah,
no, it is a series of books or comics. It's a comic series of comics.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there've been so many different articles.
It is
so
a comic storyline, but it's like.
Yeah,
Eric, different comics have different storylines. Yeah, I mean, look at for instance, DC Universe. We've had evil Superman. There's good Superman. We've had Superman's
family. My stinko isn't the fact that the story exists. My stinko is the stupid author's
just
the reasoning
trope.
To think.
Yeah,
the author is very suspect. That's
yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm not criticizing it as a stinko. I'm just.
Eric, let me put it to you this way. Like, a lot of times in comics, right, I used to read a lot of comics, and people would always ask the questions, like, when I would go to comic shops, what if, you know, this happened, or what if this happened, you know, what would have happened if...
like, what-if stories is how I was kind of looking at it. Like,
yeah.
I love the what-if stories.
I did, too, and so Marvel listened to their fans.
There was a Star Wars what-if story Luke died on Hoth, and Han took up the lightsaber, and he went to Dagobah and became a Jedi.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's just
like crazy what if stories and shit. Like,
yeah, I don't mind that, but I do agree with Eric about the whole, you know, trope thing. But I thought about it that way too.
Yeah,
Eric,
I can't help but wonder the motivations behind doing this.
Yeah, just for something different.
If it's misogynistic, that's one thing. But if they're doing this as like a what if, and then like I said, they do the follow.
Yeah, but like maybe they are misogynist and they're doing is to hide behind and by hiding behind that fact, hoping you'll take that bait.
Well, we'll see. I mean, let's see how it plays out. And you know, I don't know. I'm a big fan of what if stories. I like what if stories. So
I'm just thinking that I've seen a lot of times like we criticize stuff before it comes out. Like I backed.
Yeah, and there's plenty of people
charged,
who...
and I was wrong. I liked it a lot.
Yeah,
and there's plenty of people who defend this stuff. Like you.
Well, we're not. I'm
you
not defending.
Probably know better,
Eric.
But...
Eric. None of us have read the stories. Maybe they're fantastic stories.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
like, we don't know what it is. He's saying that his idea is this, right?
Yeah, that's. I don't.
That's what I understood you to say is that he hasn't done this yet. This is what his plans are.
Yeah. I don't mind what if it's a what if type thing, I wouldn't mind it. If it's just, you know, a misogynistic type thing, then, you know. And then Weiland says, people buy Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew comics? Yeah, that I don't know. Weiland, I can't
say. They still
buy
Archie comics, too. That blows my mind.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess it's gotten more popular since the Riverdale.
There was a whole Archie's, like, line where there was, like, zombies involved, and it was pretty dark.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, the series was pretty – wasn't it, like what was that series called that was kind of based on that? Riverdale.
It was really popular.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, my Stinko of the Week is, real quickly, I'm not going to go too far into it, but games that give vague, quote-unquote, tutorials. Like, I had to – I was playing Kingdom Hearts, and there's this spot where you have to level up your ship, but it doesn't – it tells you you have to find crabs – to level up
actually,
your ship.
Actually, Break, you were saying, like, it has happened. Yeah, I think the first issue happened.
Okay. Oh, it has? Have you checked it out, or?
No.
It so you're just criticizing without seeing any of it at all? Yeah.
Freak5 says, I'm liking the Nancy Drew show on CW.
I don't like the concept. That's why, you know.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
I get it. Like, I wouldn't like a concept of, you know, Dr. Wily Kills Mega Man comic or something like that. Yeah. Like, I probably wouldn't be into that.
I get that, Eric. So, but anyways, my stinko was games that give you vague tutorials. Like I was playing Kingdom Hearts, and it tells you to level up your ship, you got to collect crabs, right? Well, I had already collected crabs, more than what I needed to level up this ship, and I'm like, well, how do you like? There's no, I mean, it instead of telling you it'll automatically happen. I have crabs, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious that you fix your ship with crabs.
Yeah, but it doesn't, like tell you that it automatically happens. So I'm going around the town to find more crabs, and there was no more crabs in that area. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on? How do
I think they respawn after a certain amount of time.
No, they not in the port, not the main port, like where you first go into. They don't.
I think the
respawn.
Ones that you fail to pick up maybe respawn.
Nope, not even those. So you have to leave that area, and then find them out on other islands and stuff, and that's how. And it automatically does it once you hit the amount. It'll automatically. Level up your ship, but I had no idea. I was like going crazy. I
feel like the whole ship leveling up mechanic was like so insignificant. It's not tied to anything else.
So weak. Yeah. The only reason you do that is to get an extra trophy. That's pretty much it. But whatever. So, and my other stinko goes to Twitter trolls. Like anytime I say anything about Bernie, I got 50 people telling me, well, Bernie's a socialist and you can't do that. You know, he's going to bring the Gestapo back and basically comparing him to a fucking Nazi. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's a fucking Jew. You know, he's not, I mean, he's the opposite of what you're, I guess it's projection. Like these people want certain things or
I'm pretty
don't.
Sure that's exactly what Trump would do. That's what ICE basically is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, whatever. I don't know. Twitter trolls kind of get to me every once in a while, and then you point out facts, and facts never mean anything to those type of people. So whatever. But we need to move on to.
You can show them evidence, and they just don't listen.
Nope.
Of the week.
All right, Sweeto of the week, break man.
Oh, my Sweeto goes to there's a certain chatter who gave me a free online copy of The Joker, which I haven't got a chance to watch yet. I thank him. He knows who he is. I don't know if he wanted me to say his name.
Oh,
so.
Well, you. Shit. You should give him credit, man. That'd be really cool. Okay.
Oh, Weiland, then.
Yeah.
If he wants me to give credit, you said he wanted me to. I should have waited to see if he actually wanted. Well, it was Weiland.
Weiland's a cool dude, man. Like, he's, you know, that's not a problem. Why would Weiland care? You know, shit. Speaking of,
well, because,
I actually.
You know, if you say, like, somebody gave me something free, there's. Somebody might. I'm not saying, like, our listeners do that, but we might have the. There might always be that one person who, like, hey, you give that guy something free. Hey.
You know what? Speaking of giving away free things, I don't know if you guys remember, but we had a guest on to talk about the Greywalkers RPG a long time ago. I can't remember the guy's name. It's been so long since we talked to him, but we talked to him about, and it came out, the game is called Greywalkers. And he reached back out to me. And I think, Eric, you got a copy of the game on Steam, didn't you?
Early access copy, which I haven't got around to playing because it is early access.
Yeah, and I actually have, if anybody's interested, let me know. I actually have a code for a, early access to the Greywalkers RPG. I don't play PC games, but, you know, if like Freak 5, if you're interested, or Wyland. Speaking of Wyland, are you... I don't know if Wyland does PC gaming, but let me know if you guys...
I mean, I'm going to get to it eventually, but I got other obligations I need to fulfill first.
Yeah, whoever like lets me know first if they want the game, I'll go ahead and give you a code, because I don't have a PC to play it. So, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, so shout out to, the team over at the Greywalkers RPG, and you could look at our archives, listen to that interview. The game looked good, so, you know, if you want a chance to check it out.
Wyland has code for an old-ass Constantine game.
Yeah, I think I have a Constantine City of Demons code. I love that movie, Wyland. I'll take that. And yes, Freak 5, I do suck at games, but I'm not sucking at Kingdom Hearts 3, so there you go.
You're sucking at getting crabs, though.
No, I found a place where I could farm them.
No, he sucked somebody to get the crabs.
How dare you? How dare you? How dare you? You're exiled, Breakman.
It's like, when I started collecting crabs in the game to fix the ship, I was like, what? Why? But then you play the game some more and you learn why.
Freak 5 doesn't want it. Wyland, if you want that code, let me know, because you guys are the only ones in chat. And if Wyland doesn't want it, I'll just I'll give it randomly out to somebody. But yeah, just let me know, Wyland, if you want it. So,
also, I think I might hurt myself and watch Stranger Tide on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I heard it's not a good movie at all.
It's not that good. All right, Wyland, I'll give it to you, man. Let me go to Twitter and I'll give that to you after the show. Let's move on. Let's see. I'll do my Sweeto. We've been talking about Bernie quite a bit, or at least I have. He's leading nationally, according to some polls. Actually, some of the major polls. I think Emerson was one, and some of the others. So, and also, Joe Rogan, of all people, said that he's probably going to vote for Bernie. And people were outraged by that, but I'll take any major endorsement that Bernie gets. I know Joe Rogan's a piece of shit, and we've discussed...
I'm more concerned that it's going to hurt Bernie.
It's not.
Because in addition to capitulating to Republicans, now we've got... Joe Rogan, who's got a bunch of those type of people backing him.
No, look. If Bernie's going to win the whole thing, he's going to have to get some Republicans to vote for him. And this is actually a decent way for...
No, I mean, I'm not saying it's not a bad idea. It's just kind of shitty that he could have gotten some of anybody else.
Look, I'll take it, Eric. I'll take any of his... He has the number one podcast in the world. He reaches out, you know, far beyond what any of us could even dream of doing, no matter how much we talk on air, et cetera, et cetera. And even if, like, I don't know, like 5% of his audience decides, listen, Eric, just listen for a second. If even 5% of Joe Rogan's audience votes for Bernie, that's a significant amount that could make a big difference in a general election, especially in places like Wisconsin and Michigan and even some of the southern states. Like, I think Texas might even be in play. So, you know, I'll take it. I don't like Joe Rogan, but I'll take the endorsement. That's all I got to say. All right, Breakman, did I already do your Sweeto?
Yes.
Okay, Eric, your Sweeto.
I don't... Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. I have one Sweeto this week. I got a new patron.
Oh, awesome. Do you want to give him a shout-out on the show? Or?
Yeah, Ask Wheels from the Q&A podcast segment of RP Gamer.
Whew, okay.
$3.
Wow, that's awesome, man. Special shout out to those guys, man. Really appreciate it. That's Eric could use all the help he can get, so yeah, there you go. Anything else on that, Eric?
No, that's it.
Okay, let's move to our
I'm mentioning my law, like we did this before the show started, but I'm gonna mention it again. But I kind of have a walls. I kind of got rid of that section, but if there's something spectacularly dumb I see in the week, I'm gonna want to mention it, and that'd be how the Space Force's icon symbol, whatever, looks just like a tweaked version of the Star Command from Star Trek.
Yeah,
and camo in space. Huh?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. It's so stupid.
Like, never mind the fact that we don't even need a branch of the military called the Space Force, because the other pre-existing branches could already fulfill that role.
Yeah.
If they try and invest some money in NASA, for God's sakes.
I know. There's a comparison. They look exactly like the Star Trek. It's a department of the Air Force, which is, I guess, makes sense.
Just imagine if we invested as much money in NASA as we did in the military.
I know.
We'd own other planets by now and shit. People would be living on the moon.
Yeah, exactly.
And stuff like that. Yeah. It'd be like early Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah, Wyland, it is for Steam. I forgot to mention that. It's a Steam code. So the only thing I ask, let me know how it plays, and just when you play it, let me know what you think of it, so I can give a little bit of feedback.
I hope the state of Roddenberry sues them.
Yeah, that would be nice for them to do that. And man, yeah, but the camo in space, really. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Even the Stargate outfits were camouflaged properly, because they were all I think they were all navy-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
No camo.
Enough about that. Let's move on, guys.
If you want space camo, wouldn't it be the blend in with the metal hallways or something?
No,
maybe if you're outside, to be black.
Yeah, black with stars, here and there.
Maybe mirrors on it or something like that to reflect.
Yeah, exactly. Something different, but no, camo. Camo in space, which is not going to do anything.
I think it's because they're so cheap, they don't want to commission new outfits, so they just took pre-existing outfits and slapped a new logo on
it. I guess. It's so stupid. All right, we got to move on, guys, because we're running short on time. Let's move on to... It's a free-for-all! All right, free-for-all this week. Eric came up with a series of really good questions. The first one being, can you be a fan of a game without having played it personally? And this is an interesting question. I'm going to start, guys, and I don't think you can be a fan of a game if you haven't played it. Without playing it and knowing the mechanics of the game and how it plays, because it's different. It's one thing to watch a Let's Play on YouTube as opposed to actually playing the game.
Here's my counter to that, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Visual novels and stuff like Detroit Beyond Human.
Visual novels different. I think Beyond Human, I think you have to play it. There's still mechanics to the game.
Yeah, you have to play it so you can do the arbitrary button presses for QTEs.
Yeah, that's fine.
For something that's ultimately a movie.
Yeah, I guess. But there's still gameplay elements to it. Visual novels, you could get away with
that.
Yeah,
there's still the adventure game part to it. That's the only real interactive part of those games. But that's exactly what makes it a game instead of a movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think you need to play that part of the game.
Well, the game says otherwise, Eric. It's a game. It's not a movie.
I think this question, whether or not that's true or not, I think it's mostly true for most games, but I think it's really highly dependent on the game you're playing.
Yeah, I agree.
How strong the interactive element is.
I think
you could be fans of parts of the game, like the soundtrack. You could be a fan of the soundtrack. Or maybe you're talking in generalities. Maybe you're a fan of the series and not necessarily that specific installment that you're discussing. Yeah.
Or maybe you are the little brother of an asshole big brother, or little sister of an asshole big brother who won't let you play the games, but you can sit there and watch them.
Yeah, I still think you need to play the game in order to be a fan, because what if you play the game and you suck at it and it drives you crazy and you can't finish it? It's one of those catch-22s. I honestly don't think you can be a fan, unless it's a visual novel. Visual novels are different, because you're basically just pressing a button to get to the next, you're choosing It's like a choose your own adventure. You know, you can be.
I'm sorry. Go. I thought you were.
No. I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay. I disagree because when I was younger, I'd watch other people play, and they'd be good at games like Super Mario Brothers. I was terrible at game. I was terrible to everything when I was a kid.
I think that goes
to. I would die on the first or second level of those games.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not getting very far in them, but I'd sit there and watch other people get far in them and like, wow, that's cool and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You know, that's a difference. But when you become capable, like you and I, Brake, we're not the greatest gamers in the world, but we're capable of beating like difficult games like Dark Souls or, you know, different things like that. Like I could see myself eventually beating Bloodborne as much problems as I've had with that game. Like, if we only had the time to really hone in a few, you know, decent skills, then we could beat almost any game, you know, but... You know, there's certain games like you could be a fan of a genre, for instance, RP Grinders. We focus a lot on RPGs, but you know, I could like for instance, I like BioShock. BioShock's a great game, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know. I think that
I just think that like if you watch somebody else play a game and you like what's going on in the game, I think it's fair to call yourself a fan. Maybe you have disability issues that prevent you from playing a game.
That's fair enough. It's fair enough, Eric. I see your point. I could get behind that.
The only reason I even brought this up is because I saw this as a tweet, and I got immediately angry at the way they were going about it, because they basically were... using this argument to say that it wasn't gatekeeping, but the way they were talking about it definitely was gatekeeping.
Yeah. I think it's subjective. I think if you, let's say for instance, because I've seen a lot of Let's Plays, like I watch Rad Brad and, you know, from time to time other people play games, and I could say I like the game, what I saw of it, but I can't, it doesn't fit logically to say that I'm a fan of that game if I have not played the game and don't know the mechanics of the game, actually doing the mechanics of the game. You know what I'm saying? But it's different for disabled people, I understand that, so I guess you could say that. Freak 5 says, you can enjoy watching someone play a game and be a fan without ever picking up the controller. I think you could be a fan of what you see. But I think you would have a different perspective. Let's say the controls sucked, for instance, and you picked up the controllers and you found out that the controls suck. Well, then maybe you're not a fan of that game. You know what I mean? Like,
at least you're not a fan of those controls.
Yeah, exactly. So he says, I never had an NES, and I was a fan of the first Final Fantasy years before I first played it. I'd gotten the strategy guide, and reading that made me a fan. That's a little bit different because that gives you backstory and stuff like that. You know, I agree.
Probably wouldn't have played Dragon Quest if I had not watched my brothers and cousins play it.
Yeah, I mean, you can get interested in games that way by watching other people play, maybe watching a Let's Play or, you know, watching it. But I think to be a true fan of the game, I think you really do need to play. In order to like get every, because gaming is different than just watching a movie. I think we can all agree on that. You know, I mean, there's interaction, and if those interactions aren't up to snuff to what you know your standards are, then that could change your view of the game completely. So, I think it's subjective. I think there's no right or wrong answer to that. But I think we need to move on. I don't know what you're meaning by this Christian supremacy thing, Eric. So let's move on.
I'm gonna have to workshop that. But.
Yeah, let's move on to. I think I know what you're getting at with that, but I think that's a topic for a different day. What do you? Okay, you have an article here, the poison of the Netflix model. What's going on here, Eric?
I've talked about this a couple times ago, but like, I really do not like the fact that Netflix is buying up all these anime series or movies for that matter. Okay, the first issue is, when it's a series, you have to wait till the way the U.S. model works is you have to wait to till the series is completely over before they'll put it on. They won't do it week to week like the other countries do in with their Netflixes. So it's the U.S. market that does this exclusively, and it's and drives people up the wall because they want to watch the show and they want to be a part of the community and they want to talk about it weekly, but like they can't watch the show. Everybody else can, and unless you're using VPNs, and even then, I'm not sure like the English subtitle options would be available, or whatever the case might be for your country.
Yeah, this and you're referring,
but when it comes to movies and other series, like they got Neon Genesis Evangelion. That's a series. Yeah. Nobody knows whether or not there's going to be a physical release of it. And the fact that Netflix has it instead of, say, somebody like Funimation means that we might not get another physical release of that, despite the fact that there are physical releases in other parts of the world.
Yeah. I agree with you, Eric, on this subject. The only... I mean, I think you're referring to...
Not to mention Netflix is stupid because they're basically doing the Epic stories and they're bleeding money.
Well, it's all about licensing rights, Eric. Like, you're talking about the Studio Ghibli movies going to Netflix, but not in the U.S., and that's because HBO bought those rights a long-ass time ago. So, it just depends on how much these services are willing to pay. The weird thing about Studio Ghibli is I thought they had a deal with Disney. So if anything should happen, those movies should go to Disney Plus.
They did, but when Disney was doing these movies with, or more rather, when Miramax was doing these movies, who had ties to Disney at the time until they completely bought them out.
Yeah,
but they didn't renew those rights, and then they went over the G Kids.
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, it all depends on who has the most money, and they have to weigh. Like, is getting all these Studio Ghibli movies going to make people want to get their service and these other... I mean, it's all about rights and money. It all...
So yeah. From what I understand, Ghibli movies are going to end up on HBO Max now?
Yeah, in the United States, you'll be able to see them on HBO Max. And if you're anywhere else, they're going to be on Netflix. So... I don't know, if you have a VPN and you want to check them out, you probably can do it that way or whatever. However,
I think even with like the addition of the Ghibli movies, like that the price per month for HBO Max is still too much for me.
I don't think it's going to move the needle all that much, Eric. So, I mean, these are calculated risks that these you know. Services take in the hopes that they'll get more subscribers. I just don't think it's going to be enough for. I mean,
you want a physical release of Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back's Evolution? Fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what they're saying. I mean, I mean,
they could work something out where they release a disc release because I know that with the issue with Castlevania.
Yeah.
Those got disc releases.
Yeah. I'm not sure to answer you, Eric, but I everything eventually comes physical because people still like physical or digital, so they'll be for sale somewhere eventually. I know that there's certain
Really do want them to change the binge model to the week to week model, and people want to binge, they can do it then.
I like the binge model for most series, but
yeah. I don't want them holding a show hostage until it's done. I want the show to release week by week, and people can binge after the series ends if they want to.
I like the idea of binge watching, to be honest with you, Eric. It's the way things are done now. Like, you can get a lot more in by binge watching than by week.
Have you not been paying attention to what I've been saying, though? I mean, I have no problem with people binging. I just... don't think that Netflix should just withhold everything until the show's over.
Well, their model obviously works. They're making a shit ton of money, Eric. I mean, it's...
I think it would still work just as well if people could wait to week to week.
There's yes and no, Eric. Like, Disney Plus does it. Like, they did it with The Mandalorian, and it seemed to work out pretty well for them. But I could see myself binge watching that series. You know what I'm saying? So maybe you're right. Maybe you just release things week to week, and you know you can binge watch it. But then again, that
I mean, when I finally watched The Mandalorian, I am gonna binge it. But I didn't have a problem with it being week to week.
I do because of spoilers. I hate spoilers. So
that's why I stay off Twitter.
Yeah, well, I mean, some people that's feasible, and other people it's not as feasible. So I can see both sides, Eric. Like, it's an ambiguity about it that I don't think we can answer. I you know, some people like it, some people don't. But I think the majority of people actually do like binging. So, you know, what do we do? I mean, there's no data to back up whether or not that affects things. So, lots to talk about. I mean, it's food for thought. If you're out there and you're listening, let us know. The Twitter handle's at RP Grinders. I'm sure Break would like some, you know, feedback on these and other issues, especially relationship issues. So, you know, you'd let them know. Especially the more awkward, the better. You know, like if you're, you know, wondering what size of dildo that you should use, I'm sure Breakman would be more than happy to delve into those questions. Right? Right, Break? Break's like, no, I'm not at all. Did we lose Break? I think we lost Break.
Maybe he went on food quests.
Yeah, probably. Let's add Break back here.
He's having problems with his computer, though.
Oh, okay.
As the chat suggests that.
Yeah. I think that's what's going on. He got taken out. But do we have you back, Break?
Yes, I'm back.
Apparently your PC's a slut.
Hey, Breakman.
That's probably the nicest thing I said.
Yeah. Hey, Breakman, what do you think about people sending you in questions like, you know, what size dildo they should get? Would you be okay with them sending those?
Why? Those
I know how to get your PC preference. Behave.
You need to get
an attachment where you can stick a dildo in it, and they all feel good, right?
Yes, definitely. I agree.
Well, I'm just saying,
anybody can ask anything. I mean, yeah. That's what we're here for, right?
Exactly. That's what I was saying.
If somebody needs to know what size dildo to buy, I mean, I'm happy to help them, but I think at the end of the day, it's a personal preference.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
I think you should start with the biggest one possible.
With no lube? Is that what you're saying? I mean, you know.
Who uses lube? What kind of fucking wimp uses lube?
Oh, man. On that note, I think we should end this show and just hope that we make it till next week, man. I don't know how far we're going to make it with this type of shit, but all right, let's do our plugs. Breakman?
Our shitty technology. Like, Jesus.
Exactly. Breakman? You're next. What?
I'm not plugging any of this tech. I guess Skype. It's worked fine. It's put up with my bullshit today. You can follow me at @break_man or at @RPGrinders on Twitter, where you can ask dear Breakman a question.
There you go. Ask him anything. He'll answer anything, including period questions, like women, you know, let them know. Like, if you're having some problems with
your period. Right, I'll mansplain all day long.
Exactly.
The other two anime question that, like, Cole brought about this whole discussion about Netflix were Dora Hedoro and Beastars.
Yeah, Freak 5 says, has that question been on your mind? Yes, it has. I'm wondering.
Yes. Women, if you need things mansplain, that's what I'm here for.
Exactly. Exactly.
Frank and Break would probably like a show like Dora Hedoro too. So
why is there lots of boobs in it?
There's a big wrestling luchador chick in it that's got muscles and can punch the hole in some dude.
Oh, that's
why would we like that?
I like that. That's fine.
Well, you don't like Fist of North style shenanigans?
I do.
Oh, okay, I thought we were talking about boobs. I'm sorry.
Well, she's big and muscly, and her chest is big because of that. So.
Oh, see, that works for me. I'm okay with that. Okay, Eric, your plugs, please.
I'm gonna plug my Patreon. Maybe I could get more than three people now.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It's in my Twitter profile at EricRPG, and I write reviews for sites like BostonBashBrigade.com. VogNetwork.com and TotallyGN.com.
Okay.
And If you like what I've written and you want to support me, even something as little as $1 a month will help me.
Yeah.
Or if maybe you want to hire him to write a review for your game or something.
Yeah, that too. He'll do piecework too. I'm sure you would be.
Wouldn't that be conflict of interest?
Not really. You can
on their part, not mine. Yeah, I guess it's not my problem.
Not yours. You can do whatever you want, man. Okay.
It is my problem well, if I
want they want, if they want to hire somebody to give a fair review. Yeah. I mean, that's what you'd want as a developer, right? You don't want somebody to kiss your ass.
Right, right.
I mean, that's only a publisher would, but a developer wants honesty, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Okay, Eric, anything else?
Have a nice weekend.
Okay, you can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. You can get me on any of the systems, RP Grinders on Xbox, PSN, and Nintendo. Just look me up there, and I will add you as a friend. Watch Zombieland 2. It's a great sequel, and I think you guys will thoroughly enjoy it. And check out Lighthouse again. I can't say enough about that movie. I've still been thinking about that movie. So, you know, watch that movie. It's a great movie with Pattinson and Willem Dafoe. Willem Dafoe gives a great performance and should have been nominated for an Oscar. So, I don't think I have.
And get drunk and watch Unbelievable.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know why I suggested getting drunk first, but do it.
Maybe watch it and then get drunk. Actually, that might lead to, I don't know.
I think the drinking is probably going to lead to depression watching that. I'm just saying.
Exactly. Don't do that. Don't do any of that. We don't want you to hurt yourself or anybody else. So, all right. Anything else,
Frank?
Jen?
Doesn't.
Yeah, I definitely don't. Breakman,
yeah.
Maybe.
I want to give Frank the link to the Andorra Hedoro.
Okay.
Wikipedia entry, and then he can go. Then he can go shout at Netflix to put it on the U.S. store.
Yeah, that's how much pull. That's how much pull I have, man. You know. So there you go. Okay. Anything else, gentlemen?
Yeah, just one thing.
Oh, you son of a bitch! You did it! God damn it! What's wrong with you, Breakman? You really want me to hang up on you, don't you, you son of a bitch? God damn
well,
it.
Well, if I did, I'd use the cowbell.
Well, no, the cowbell's good, man. I like the cowbell. Any day of the week, I'll take cowbell over that shitty harmonica. All right, everybody, stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Later, everybody.
You got a what instrument?
Cowbell.
Oh, this is Breakman has a trumpet.
No harmonica. Nothing. Sucks.
That's human.
Quit trying to recruit. Quit trying to recruit Mrs. Breakman, you son of a bitch. Unfair. Totally unfair. Later, everybody.